speaks about in Revelation how even just reading this book, God promises a blessing. If you don't understand it all, don't panic. But there's something about reading it, hearing it read, and taking it to heart. And here's the passage this morning. To the angel of the church in Thyatira, write the words of the Son of God, whose eyes like a flame of fire and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and your latter works exceed the first. But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I give her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw onto great tribulation unless they repent of their works. And I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold to this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden, only hold fast what you have until I come. The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Thyatira was a real place. Maybe some of you have heard of Lydia in the book of Acts. She came from there. It was a commercial center, and I think it was quite famous for trade guilds and that kind of thing. And it also practiced these pagan parties and feasts. And sometimes if you were a member of a club or a trade guild, it gave you opportunities to practice commerce. And it was sometimes associated with special feasts and pagan parties. As in all the letters to the churches, there is something positive from the Lord that he commends. And here's my question. Do you want to make the Lord extremely happy and proud of you? In all these letters, we discover what really impresses the Lord. And even in this compromised church, there were some very positive things that really got the Lord's compliments. But there's also a warning in most of the letters, and not least in this one. And the warning in a nutshell is this church was tolerating what they should never have tolerated. They put up with something they should never have put up with. And then thirdly and lastly, there was a reward spoken of for the overcomers. Do we want the reward? And there's two fantastic rewards mentioned, authority and the morning star. And you're thinking, what on earth is that about? I can't wait to hear that last couple of minutes of his preaching, so I better pay real attention in case I miss it. I know what you're thinking. These were actual churches, but these messages are relevant to all times and all places and all individuals, because it says, let him who hears hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So there's something in this for us. Some people think when they study church history, this particular church refers to the time that the church brought into its experience pagan rituals and all kinds of compromises and even Old Testament practices, and that this is a picture of a church that has really lost its way and is compromised. But at any rate, there are some things for us to discover this morning. The first thing I want to point out is, look who's talking. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Look Who's Talking. It says it's Jesus, the Son of God. His eyes are like a flame of fire. Jesus has X-ray eyes. He can see into the innermost parts of our beings and our souls. Isn't that fantastic? It's a wee bit scary. But I would rather be known as I really am by the Lord and him to speak over my life, well done, my good and faithful servant. It helps to purify my heart, purify my mind. As it says in verse 23, I want you to know I'm the Lord who sees into the innermost heart, the kidneys, into the mind. He's the searcher. And who's speaking? It's him whose feet are like burnished bronze. And we saw this in chapter 1. But as in all of the messages, it's also the Holy Spirit speaking. Because it says in verse 29, let him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to these churches. The most important key to understanding the book of Revelation, I'm going to give you the password. Here's the password to understanding the book of Revelation: a hearing ear and a hearing heart. Wanting to hear the Lord, wanting to please the Lord, is more important than all the study that you could ever do. When it comes to hearing God's voice or hearing God speaking, some people have this idea, it's so quiet you can hardly hear it. And we talk about a still small voice. But you know something? If your heart's right, other people may not even hear what God is saying, but to you it's like a trumpet. To you it's like a waterfall. It is so distinct, it is so clear, it is so concise, it is so life-changing. What gives authority to what someone says is who is saying it. Isn't that right? This is one of the reasons we have to be very careful in the medical profession, because people perceive us as having authority, and if the doctor says you're well, that seems to carry more authority than maybe your mate down the street. It may not, but that's what we perceive. What gives authority to what someone says is who says it. Brothers and sisters, God says certain things. The Son of God says certain things. When the Scripture says God loves you, every thought, idea, influence, or feeling that's contrary to that is not to be tolerated. It's a Jezebel. But it's awful nice. Jezebel was really nice. She was seductive. And by the way, men can be Jezebels as well. But anything that is contrary to what God is saying is a Jezebel in my mind. I will not tolerate it. We need to stop tolerating certain things. If God says, my Son died on the cross, shed blood for you, that you would be forgiven. Any thought, idea, influence, teaching, I don't care how religious it is, how nice it is, that denies that or pours cold water on that is not to be tolerated. When the Scripture says he rose from the dead, and as the prophecy said, he's exalted to the highest power and authority, any thought, idea, philosophy, or lie will not be tolerated in this mind and in this heart. He searches our hearts and minds. He goes to the root. He goes to the core of our being. Jesus didn't die on the cross that we would spend our lives in oppression and depression and misery. He didn't take on the wrath of God and the judgment and the pain and the suffering that we could be doubting the rest of our lives if God really has accepted me and loved me. Let's stop tolerating what we're not meant to tolerate. Stop having fellowship with things that are sourced and rooted in the deep secrets, the so-called deep secrets of Satan himself. Let's believe the Lord. Let's not tolerate. Who is it that's speaking gives authority? I don't trust myself anymore. I don't trust my discernment anymore. I trust the Lord. I lack wisdom. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask God and he will give it. Every day I ask for wisdom. Every moment we're asking for wisdom. And the promise is he'll give us wisdom. I have an interest. I like reading. Ken will be proud of me for this. I like reading a breadth of books. And I'll read a medical book. I'll read a Christian book. And I'll read book by atheists. Are you shocked at that? And one of my favorite writers is a guy called Christopher Hitchens, who's now dead. And I hope and pray he repented on his deathbed, because he wasn't just an atheist, he was an anti-theist. His job was to, he wrote a book called God Is Not Great, Religion Is the Root of All Evil. I mean, he was passionate about it. And when I read these guys, I smile, because their arguments don't do it for me. They don't cut it for me. I'm not afraid to read those books. Do you know who's really dangerous? A bishop in a dog collar who's speaking apparently on behalf of God and on behalf of the church, but he's compromised. They're much more dangerous than the atheists. People who wear sheep's clothing are much more dangerous to the church. The insiders that are compromising the message are much more dangerous. With an atheist, you know where he stands. There's no messing about. And so there is something about this church that had been corrupted by this woman, Jezebel. We'll come to that. So who is speaking? When God speaks, he brings creation into being. When God speaks, he comforts. When God speaks, every knee must bow. And look at what he says about this church, and I hope he can say this about us. Here's what he really commands. Here's what impresses God. Do you ever feel, you know, I'd like to know what really turns God on, really gets his attention? Here it is. I commend you for your works, your love, your faith, your service, and your endurance. And not only that, you're doing more now than you used to do. God loves people and who serve, practice hospitality, give to the poor, who do things out of love, do things as a result of faith, who persevere through difficulties. And here's the point, I would say. There are certain things we know to do. We should just keep doing them because they please the Lord. We need to continue in certain things. The story I use when I'm talking about coping with stress and going through stress, one of the things I say to people, practice good housekeeping. And I'm not talking about the vacuuming. I'm not talking about doing the dishes. But there are certain things you should do every day that are just helpful and healthy to do. Every day you should get some sleep. Every day you should eat something. Every day do a little bit of exercise. Sounds like Tuesday night here. And when you're going through stress, all the more reason to sleep. Get some exercise. Because what happens is when we're stressed, we stop doing those practical things. And we're conned out of them. And sometimes it's good just to be thankful every day. Just to pray every day, whether I feel like it or not. Good housekeeping. And I think the Lord would say to us, there's something about doing good works, doing acts of kindness, loving people, doing the things that come from faith, doing your daily work with integrity, and getting better and better at all those basic routine everyday things. They are much more important than we realize. The little things are the big things in God's eyes. The little things are the big things in God's eyes. And Christ commands a proportion of this church. And it says that in verse 24, I do not lay on you any other burden. Keep doing the good stuff you know to do. Keep on going. Keep on doing it. I like that. Many things are more significant and more commendable than we realize. Generosity, hospitality, thanksgiving, an honest day's work, taking care of the poor, praying every day, doing everything every day, doing the ordinary things to the glory of God. And even in this corrupt church, there were those who genuinely knew and pleased the Lord. By the way, in every local church and in every denomination, no matter how corrupt it is, you will find people who genuinely know and love the Lord, even in Tyatira. So there are certain things he commends. You know what they are. I feel like almost prophesying to individuals and saying, you know, that little thing you keep doing, the thing you do behind the scenes, God sees it and loves it and appreciates it. Keep on doing it. Keep persevering. Don't give up. But there is a warning. And the warning is they were tolerating what they should not have tolerated. They tolerated this woman, Jezebel, and her teaching and prophesying. My goodness. Now, some of you have just had a baby. And probably you have chosen carefully a name for that baby. No one ever calls their baby Jezebel. I say to people, which Bible character are you most like and why? And nobody says Jezebel or Goliath. Everybody's David or Mary or Peter or Paul or John. Nobody's Jezebel. She has a really, really bad name. And if you read about Jezebel, she married this king Ahab, and she had this king under her thumb, and she manipulated him to do the most evil. He was going to do bad stuff, but because of Jezebel, he'd done really bad stuff. And sometimes he was afraid to do some bad stuff, and she manipulated and controlled him. And there was a prophet called Elijah, and he wasn't scared of 400 prophets of Baal. He says, come on, lads, I'll take you on. Bring down fire, see what you can do, give it your best shot. And Elijah brought down fire from heaven, and then he ran away from this woman, Jezebel. Fear is a funny old thing. There are men who are not afraid to fight. They're not afraid to join the military and go to war, but they're afraid of their mummies. Or they're afraid of somebody in work who can manipulate and intimidate. And we don't know if this was a literal woman in this church or a man even, but it was certainly a picture of a spirit of how somebody manipulates to try to get us to tolerate certain things that we should not tolerate. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And you know, if the devil appeared, or that atheist comes into your midst and they just speak out these negative things, doesn't bother me. But it's when somebody appears to be religious, appears to be a Christian, appears to be a prophet, and they start to manipulate, and they start to say, you know, it's okay to compromise. You see, if you want to get ahead in your career, it's okay, just do what everybody else does. Whether that's in social services or nursing or medicine or the legal profession or the teaching profession, do you ever get embarrassed because you're different in your world? Do you ever feel that you're stupid because you have a different value system? I want to say God loves you in that. God is with you in that. He's searching the hearts and minds. That when we take a stand and we hold firm, it really pleases the Lord. But the Jezebel thing says, you know, we better compromise, doesn't it? Look, everybody lies. I mean, all you're going to do, you want to get promotion, which will give you more money to give to the poor. Yeah, right enough. It's all for the poor. But there's something about those days, and God warned them about this false prophet, and there's something about our days. Let's not compromise. There, you know, we know certain things are right and certain things are wrong. You know, you need a theologian to help you misunderstand that. There's certain things in the Bible. Someone said like this, the bits of the Bible I find hardest are not the bits I don't understand. They're the bits I do understand. Let's not make it difficult. There's certain, you know, let's not be conned or manipulated. Let's not tolerate, as I said. And she claimed revelation, she claimed authority. Let's refuse. And I've already preached that. I said, if Jesus died, then I'm going to enjoy forgiveness and freedom from guilt and condemnation. I'm going to be suspicious of thoughts to the contrary, ideas to the contrary, influences to the contrary. If the scripture says I'm a new creation in Christ, then I don't have to be under the power of any other thing, any matter, influence, sin, or spirit. I refuse to tolerate ideas or settle for anything less than total victory, total overcoming, and total freedom in Christ. I'm not going to be conned. And you know, if I told you a witch's coven down the road was cursing Christians in this time, that would spook you out. You don't have to be afraid of that kind of stuff. He that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. But what we have to guard against is the more subtle things. the more subtle things, when somebody in the name of God or in the name of a revelation or in the name of some spirituality says it's okay to compromise in the area of morals or ethics or values, it's not okay. And there is a reward for those who continue in the light, who continue to walk with God. The things you know to do and know to believe, keep doing and keep believing no matter what. Don't make this complicated. I love that phrase, these deep secrets of Satan. You know, sometimes you find some people can make you feel spiritually inferior because they have all these special revelations and special experiences. Can I tell you something? If the special experience and the special revelation doesn't enable you to live a life of service, love, and faith and perseverance, I give you permission to be critical and suspicious of those things. But if you're at walk with God and your experience of God is motivating you to live a life of love and faith and service and endurance, then let's have more of those experiences. The two rewards, and with this I finish. I actually put a timer on this morning to make sure I didn't go beyond 25 minutes. Because my wife's on the crash, you see. And I've got 3 minutes and 24 seconds. That's all, to tell you about the two rewards. We all want the rewards, don't we? We want to make the Lord extremely happy and proud of us, so I've talked about that. And we want to stop tolerating what we should not tolerate. What are the rewards? Number one is authority. To share his authority. He is all authority in heaven and earth, and he wants to share it with people, but not just anybody. I want to have something of his authority. I want to go into the workplace in his name with his authority and change the atmosphere. I want to go into my home and change the climate. I want to walk into a room and change the spiritual atmosphere. Because me and the Lord, you and the Lord, are one. That when I speak, things happen. When I pray, things happen. I want that kind of authority. And in the age to come, to share with him forever in his life and his authority. And the morning star. Revelation 22 verse 16 says this, Jesus speaking, I am the morning star. When you live for my eyes only, when you have an ear to hear my voice, and you don't tolerate what you shouldn't tolerate, I'm going to give myself to you, says the Lord, in a mysterious, wonderful, intimate, special way. You see, when it talks about the Lord's coming, it says in Malachi, he's going to come bright like the sun. And you see, when he comes like that, everyone's going to acknowledge him. Everyone's going to see him. But there's a group of people, before the sun comes up in all its glory and power, they're going to see the morning star in advance. They're going to have special connection with the Lord himself. And they're going to have an ability to discern the times we're living in. And that's what is promised, I believe. The morning star is a promise of the Lord himself, known early and mysteriously to us, compared to the day when we'll come when everyone will see him in his glory, just like the sun in all of its brightness. And so he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I think I was afraid this would be a heavy message or a discouraging message in some way, even though there's warning in it. But it's actually a really, really encouraging message. That there are people that get God's attention, and there's a reward for those who are overcomers. Let's be overcomers. You wouldn't be here this morning if you weren't hungry and thirsty and desirous of the Lord.
You couldn't survive this series on the seven churches. You would not come back next week for the next message unless you have a heart after God. In all of your difficulties and all of your uncertainties, there's something in your spirit and your heart that longs to please Him. Let's just do it. Longs to hear Him. Let's just do it. And let's be overcomers. Amen.